This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust, and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Let's go!
We're back, bitches! Welcome to Binchdown TV. This is Kathleen here with Kyle, Luke, and Jimmy. And after a long two-week hiatus from The 100, we're hyped to discuss Season 7, Episode 10, titled A Little Sacrifice. And woo, that sacrifice did not feel little. Am I right?
Great episode. I thought it was awesome.
Amazing episode.
Give us the stats, Jimmy.
All right. So like always, we polled the fans via our Binchdown TV Twitter account, and we had three options. Loved it for the episode, 50%, pretty good, 32%, and could have been better, 18%. I'm thinking the could have been better people are the people that were a little upset about the sacrifice.
Yeah, there's some haters.
I mean, I definitely have some things I want to talk about.
I thought most of it landed. They cleaned up a lot of plot holes like that have been like season long. We'll get into that too. And, you know, it definitely crushed a lot of theories real quick, like in the first couple scenes. But overall, it was a great episode. There was one or two big things that happened that I wasn't, you know, fully invested in. But for the most part, it was awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's nice. They're kind of confirming and fleshing out things that we've discussed throughout the season on the podcast, so it's kind of cool to watch that happen in real time.
I'm not gonna lie, this was the first time I felt that this was a series ending season. Like, the stakes are high now. I'm finally feeling sad. Like, after that death, we haven't had a big death in a while, and I was like, oh, like, what's the last one? Abby, maybe, at the end of
Yeah, I would say Abby, probably.
But even that, I'm like, okay, fine. Like,
Hatch? What are you talking about, bro? Hatch?
No, I mean, like, Hatch a big was, character. And
what is that supposed to mean?
Love you, Hatch. I'm just playing. Love you, Chad. I just mean, like, I'm finally feeling the stakes here. And you know what? After having Clark in this episode, I'm finally feeling like, wow, maybe I have been missing Clark a lot.
Yeah.
I don't need Bob and Eliza. I just need one of them. So as long as Clark's here for the whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, and as I'm going through my rewatch, like, if you look at all the episode description, pretty much every single thing up until this season says, like, Clark something, Bellamy something. It's always those two.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to see, like, what it is, like, without them, you know? Like, it's just – I'm ready for Bellamy next episode, honestly. I think it's an episode too late, maybe two, but – I don't know. We got to take what we can get. We have five episodes of Bob. So
before we start, I just recently, last week, it was San Diego Comic-Con at home, obviously, because of COVID. And The 100 had a panel. It had a bunch of good people, Jason Rothenberg and the cast. And I want to say that Jason shouted out Tazia, Echo, and Shelby Hope for really stepping up in, they didn't say the absence of Bob and Eliza, but he's like, we had some changes that happened right in the beginning of season 7, and these two friggin' stepped up. So interesting to me, because what would this season have been like? And Shelby said it herself. She's like, because they talked to her because this is her first job out of school, which is insane.
Yeah, oh, really? I was going to say it's her
job,
first season on this show.
And she's like, I mean, it was crazy because, like Jason said, it all changed right in the beginning. And it's worth the watch. So it's 50 minutes. They get a lot of old cast members who died. Pike, Josephine, Rowan, Wells, Monty, Harper, Lexa, all of them come back, do a little.
No Finn?
No Finn. Yeah. Notably no Finn, no Lincoln, and no.
Well, we know why, Jasper. No Lincoln.
And no Jasper.
Yeah, they all had issues. Yeah, with there's issues. Jason, right?
Bellamy or Bob and Eliza had like a 2-second little, hey. And at the end, it was so cute. At the end of everyone's shout out, they're like, may we meet again. And I was like, no, my heart, my soul. But yeah, what couple more things I liked. One of the questions was, what did you take? And I liked Raven. So Lindsay took her leg brace and the bomber jacket.
Nice,
notably.
The one that's
iconic.
One of the fan questions was, since everyone usually dies on the show, as actors, were you worried? And Murphy, Richard Harmon tells the story that at the end of season one finale, he was supposed to shoot in like a few hours, but Jason called him down to come meet up with him, and Murphy's like, I'm getting killed off. Look. and then he goes, but that's actually, instead he asked me to be a series regular, and he goes, and I cried. I was like, that's
wow,
so cute. It was really awesome. Cute moment. But anyway, there's a bunch of other cool stuff. So everyone just watch it. It's on YouTube.
That's a really interesting point that you make about Echo and Hope. I'd be curious to see, like, up until this point and then maybe at the end of the season, the like total screen time for each character. Because now that you say that, they might be the top two.
They literally are.
Yeah.
Definitely Hope, I would guess.
That's crazy.
All of them. I mean, Bardo's storyline is everything this season. And it's those three. Octavia, Dioza. Not even. Dioza was gone for a long time.
Yeah.
So. Anyway, ready to hop into the episode?
Let's do it.
Yeah, we're going to start off on the Sanctum storyline. Post Shade Hata's massacre, right?
Yeah. So we open with the massacre. Murphy and Amori are tending to the faithful. They're freaking the fuck out. And then Indra comes in and is like, where is Shade Hata?
She's like, oh, I'm sorry. That was a bad plan,
yeah,
guys.
Come on. That's
so
not good.
Dumb. So dumb. But whatever. I'm not going to hold it against her. But she knows right away that the reason Shade Hata is not there is he used the escape route that they, the secret passage that he had been brought up a couple times this season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but they want to get to Shade Hata before he gets to Wong Crew, which is, spoiler alert, it's too late. Murphy literally says that. He's like, too late.
Yeah, because our boy, not our boy, I'm sorry, Knight is there.
Yeah, so...
And Maddie.
Well, that
leads us into the next scene, but...
Yeah, so Shade Hata is going after Maddie, which is an intense scene. I mean, God, J.R. Bourne does not care. Yeah. She's a little girl.
First of all, what is Maddie doing alone in the dark? Okay, she's not alone, but she doesn't have any friends with her. She's just like at the bar by herself with some randos in the saloon. All the lights are off.
Well, she's got Picasso. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Is that the dog's name?
Yeah.
I completely forgot about the dog because I remember we made a big deal about it in the first episode when Kathleen was just like, this is the happy family. We even got a dog on the farm, whatever.
That's true.
Exactly. I completely forgot about the dog.
Maddie's definitely going to need another appointment with Dr. Therapist Jackson.
Oh my gosh.
Was he in this episode?
No.
No. And that's why we'll get to it. But later in the episode, Amori's wearing his doctor jacket and people were like, why isn't he helping? Where is he?
Budget.
Just realized. That's weird. But anyway, so one of the things I noticed right away is when Shade Hata is walking into the room and he sees Maddie there and he starts, you know, what's the language?
Trigatus slang.
I finally learned how to say it.
This is the first time we ever hear Maddie's full, you know, grounder name.
Right.
I'm going to probably butcher it, but it was Maddie Luada Com Clearon Crew.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sounds good
like
to me.
That
works.
Have we ever met anyone else from that crew? Like that?
No, they're literally all dead from she's the only one who survived the Prime Gaia.
I meant like early in there. No. Like it was never even mentioned.
Which
right?
We could have, but I mean, I don't think I even knew what Sangeeta crew was, but I'm sure we would have met somebody.
Well, that's the people from the valley, right?
Yes. So Shade Hata knows better than to kill Maddie, even though he's like, I would love to shed your blood.
I
would like to see you bleed. He knows it'll just worsen his position with Indra. And he says he's intimidating her and he's pushing her up get with his bloody hands full of faithful blood just on her cheeks. She's so scared. And he goes,
dude,
refuse to kneel and I'll slice open the chest of every person you love and feed their hearts to your dog.
Picasso.
Pulls a Leonardo DiCaprio and Django and he just kind of just rubs the blood all over her face. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah.
Because it's J.R. Bourne. Like he does everything in a crazy good way.
Mm-hmm. And their whole plan to keep Maddie sheltered kind of backfires because she is not prepared for Russ Hata to walk into this right now.
I mean,
and
she doesn't even know Shade Hata exists.
Yeah, because she says,
Russell.
Like, Russell?
Yeah.
And he's like, what does he say? Oh, yeah. He says, Russell stayed down. I done fragged him up on a fig gator, which is obviously Trigata slang for Russell's dead. I killed him in the mind space.
Yeah.
But then she's like, oh, my gosh, this is terrible.
Yeah.
Can I say something? I don't know that they know what to do with Maddie.
They
I think at this point they really...
Are you saying the writers or, like, Indra and Squad?
Both?
Okay, yeah.
I just think, I mean, truly, like, what do you do with her? She's not the commander, and she's a threat, but it's also, like, is she?
I think they have an end point for her, and they just don't know how to get there, so it's feeling
awkward.
Like that. But it's totally, because, like, you know, she could matter, you know, she could be the test, but I doubt it.
The drawings
have
to mean something. The drawings that she's doing.
Yes.
From
she's going to have some sort of knowledge that brings us closer to the end game, but it's like, okay.
Yeah, because the key's actually gone, so we know that there's no way to actually activate Judgment Day, right?
We know that the key is fried.
Right.
So I really do think it's going to have to be something with Maddie's memories or something to figure out how to
Exactly. And I think they knew that, so they sprinkled in a couple scenes throughout the season and kind of threw her to the side whenever they're not doing that. And
yeah.
Now it's going to, I think she's going to be a main part of every episode going forward.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
Because it feels like, what is the point of her story? Like, what are we learning from her? What is she like?
Right. Without Clark.
Right, yeah, exactly.
The whole point of her now is to give her a real life as a child. And Clark's not even there to enforce that. And really, Daddy Murphy, you know, he's taking care of her. But like Indra Murphy, they're all like trying to shelter her. But, you know, without Clark being there to be like the mom, quote unquote, you know, what is her point until it gets to the real point?
Maddie works best as a pressure point for Clark.
Right.
So it's not even like herself being a character. It's more just how she affects how Clark reacts to other people. So it's weird because this is the only season that she's ever not been attached at the hip with Clark since we've met her.
This might have something to do, honestly, with what the Comic-Con thing, with that they made the changes earlier in the season with them not being in as much.
Yeah.
And Clark's not in as much. She's not on Sanctum
a
ton.
What do you do with Maddie?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
A lot of the characters I've been questioning, why aren't they looking for the ones they love? Why aren't they mentioning that they're not with the ones they love? Nobody's saying Bellamy's name. Clark isn't worried about Maddie right now.
Yeah, when's the last time Clark even said Maddie's name?
It's just the time dilation makes everything confusing. Like, there's just so many times where I'm wondering, like, why the hell is someone not upset or missing this person? It's like, oh, wait, it's been like 2 hours for them in real life, yeah. You know, or in their time.
Yeah, I don't even know if they've been on Sanctum for more than like 2 weeks,
yeah,
including all of last season, you know? Like, it's been such a short timeline.
Indra should still be wondering where Gaia is, though.
Well, she says it, at least.
Yeah.
She should be like... Okay.
She assumes Gaia is wherever the rest of them are because they sent the search party out, didn't find any of their bodies.
Yeah. So speaking of what, Indra and search parties, that's the next.
Yeah. So Maddie ends up kneeling, obviously, like, don't blame you at all by any means. I would
do whatever he told me to do.
Yeah. So then it kind of switches to Murphy and Amori trying to find her. They're really throwing out all the search parties to try and find her. They all split up, and then Murphy ends up finding her, being a sweet, sweet, perfect angel, calming her down.
Yeah,
Amori, what a good father figure, man.
Amori was so turned on by that. Yeah. She was just like,
the breathing
what a baby.
Technique.
She's like, all right, it's time.
In me. Oh my God. Her ovaries were screaming.
Jesus.
really trying to make
calm down
Murphy
over there.
The moral guy on Sanctum right now. He's like the moral leader now.
He's literally the
Raven,
protector of all children.
I would say him, Raven, and I mean, it kind of maybe Levitt seem like in the whole season, they have like the nicest side, like the most
moral Gabriel
side.
I would say maybe.
Oh yeah, true, Gabriel.
But I mean, there's even a line towards the end with Amori when she's saying, don't look now, you might become someone worth following or whatever it is, but we'll get to that exact quote
the
later.
Only part I teared up at the entire episode. I was on the treadmill going, and why am I getting choked up right now? Like, I didn't even cry at the death, but I cried at that scene. I just love Murphy's come up, baby. He doesn't even want to be, he's the unlikely hero, man. Love him. So then we get Murphy and Amori. They're kind of arguing about what to do. I believe Amori wants to bounce and not leave. She wants to leave them there because she wants to get their people to safety. She's like, if we have to deal with this, we'll be
the faithful, you mean?
Yes. Yeah. The faithful, the injured faithful. And Luke, I don't know if you have any of those chess lines written down.
Was saying that Shade Hate sacrificed the pawns first, and these the faithful are the pawns.
Yeah. And we get later,
We skipped a little bit because we totally missed the part where, like, because when Murphy's calming Maddie down, that's when Shade Hata jumps on the mic and starts convincing the rest of one crew.
Oh, okay.
Saying, Indra lied to you. There's actually eligible commanders, basically exposing himself as, like, the lead. He's saying, I'm going to be your leader.
Yeah.
Then we move over to the massacre room.
Yeah, where they're.
Yeah,
kind
that's
of
why Indra
about
isn't
to
with
do.
Them when they have that conversation because she's searching the palace with Tree
that's,
Crew.
Murphy tells us there that even, I think it was Murphy, that even Tree Crew was starting to question their loyalty to Indra. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Murphy starts dropping the coolest psychoanalysis of just his small interactions with Shade Hata. And I was loving it because he was basically just saying, like, yeah, how he played me in chess. Like, he was taking all my pawns in the beginning so they didn't have a chance to get revenge later, which is the equivalent in chess of, you know, reaching the other side of the board and turning to whatever piece you want. And that's just like a perfect metaphor. And honestly, it's unique writing because most of the time, bad guys don't do that. Like, they don't worry about cleaning up the fodder first.
Yep.
Right.
So I was loving the shit out of that line because I was like, that's great because every step of the way, since the beginning of the season. Shade Hayda's plan has been awesome.
Oh, yeah.
It's so thought out. Like, it's probably the best written part of the entire season.
Yeah, definitely.
I agree.
And it gets better, too.
Yeah. And it just continued. Like, every episode, we were getting hyper and hyper until we finally were just like, fuck, I would marry J.R. Bourne right now.
I know.
Oh, so it's good.
But so they decide that they are going to get the faithful out of there, which we then later see.
Because she says to him, she's like, you know, like, that means, like, we'll be in danger, too. And Murphy's like, I know.
It's hot. It's really hot.
Hero so Murphy. Whack seeing how Murphy was like in the early seasons.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's the cockroach.
He's
survives,
the opposite of cockroach in the scene. Mm-hmm. And it's so.
That's why.
Russ Hayda got to him.
Well, no, shut up.
That's
don't
why,
say it.
That's why he's going to sacrifice himself in the end.
And episode title is going to be a big sacrifice.
A big sacrifice.
Yeah, that.
A little sacrifice, a big sacrifice. It's so good.
Okay, so.
Next, we have Indra searching for Shade Hayda.
Indra's searching for Shade Hayda, and we start getting the broadcast of the lineage. Oh, my God. Reciting the lineage, I was like, stop. I was like, keep Lex's name out of your mouth.
Yeah.
You son of a bitch.
Well, you were hyped for it, I guess, and Indra was like, he's reciting the lineage.
And I was
so mad.
It was just hype because I love the lore. I like that. That stuff was awesome, especially like bringing it back to Antari not being able to recite the lineage because she doesn't have the flame. But I mean, Shade Hayda had it, so he could.
And
we didn't hear Maddie.
Did we hear Maddie recite it?
No,
he doesn't
think so.
Recite Antari's name either.
No, he doesn't.
He skips her after Lexa.
He goes right to Maddie and he's like, you didn't have
the flame.
Yeah, so he wouldn't have actually known, right?
Oh, Maddie, I guess he was with Maddie's head.
But this actually did spark a conversation on my second watch through when I was thinking about it, because I was wondering if we've ever heard. Obviously, there was 100 years worth of commanders, right? So, like, I don't think we've ever heard the full list of someone actually reciting all the names. But, you know, I was just bringing up the point where it would have actually been a spoiler for the prequel season if we did.
Because
it would start with Becca Premheda into whoever, Reese, you know, it would probably be Reese. Yeah.
That's an awesome point. I love that point.
Yeah. To quote Raven, they were keeping their cards face down.
I love that line too. this was a good episode.
Yeah. There's
a couple corny lines.
Some cheesy lines. Yeah.
Couple corny lines.
It was actually sick to just see Lex's name on the screen though. Because I wasn't like, us choosing to do subtitles or closed captions.
Right.
He's speaking Tregatus slang, so it says Lex's name, which is awesome.
Yeah. But that scene starts with him reciting it over the loudspeaker, but then goes back into the ritual room or wherever he is.
Yeah, because it seemed like they made it seem like he was there the whole time, what I got
definitely
from there.
Was not.
And I was like, how the hell was that not the first place they checked?
Right.
Because they're just in some random bedroom, and then Indra's like, oh, he's reciting the lineage and knows exactly where he is.
Yeah.
But whatever.
And speaking of names, I believe this is the first time we hear Shade Hayda's name, which is Malachi Cum Sangeeta Crew, which I fucking love.
Yeah, that was
cool. Ass
the
name.
First name drop of that.
Malachi,
And this is also a perfect parallel, because as he's getting to the end of the naming ritual, Indra walks in and basically calls him out, and he's telling, Shade Hayda's saying to everyone, like, kneel. And this is just the perfect parallel to what he did in his real life to Indra's parents, when he tried to unite all the 12 crews, making them all kneel.
Kneel or you die.
And, you know, Indra said earlier this season, her mom refused to kneel because her dad died on the battlefield, right? And her mom,
mom knelt, and she was, like, embarrassed.
Yeah,
she was weak,
Yeah, so that was a consistent character trait, and that was pretty cool just to hear that. But this is the first look at his new look, right?
No, I don't think so. Not
until
the
fight. Not
until
the fight.
And both get the new look at the
fight. He's rocking new clothes, and he has like a braid, definitely.
And
but he doesn't have the eye paint.
Is Knight in this scene too? He's got the whole Sangeta crew.
Yeah, I think they're probably front row.
I mean, this
Indra
is
just pushing through all of them. Like,
it's
get
awesome,
up, get up.
Yeah, she's like, don't you kneel? And then she said, your path leads through me. Solo gon' play, baby. Single combat, and I was like,
Enclave.
Said it in the beginning when we were rewatching. When I watched it the first time, like at my house by myself, I was like, Conclave. Then she said solo combat. I was like, fuck.
It's still the same thing in theory, though.
Well,
I mean,
Lexa and Rowan, right?
Oh, so cool.
That's the last time we saw it.
Yeah. Long live the king.
Yeah.
God, I miss you, Lexa. How cool.
I miss Rowan, dude.
Dude, oh my God. Rowan, how good is he in the rewatch?
He's so good.
Freaking good. Man.
I'm glad they gave him a little shout out in the beginning of this season as a hallucination.
Rowan was a great character.
He really was.
But after they scream the single combat thing, we go to commercial, and I actually like saw Kathleen like mid watching this episode, and I saw her right after the commercial started, and I was just like, I have a sick feeling in my stomach that if this went the way I thought it was going to go, where I thought Indra was just going to kill Shade Hata, I was going to fucking burn the house to the ground. I was going to be so fucking mad.
See, I actually took it out. I thought this was going to be Indra's death.
It would have been amazing.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. They hit us with the middle ground. It was like,
I thought this fight scene and the directing, the camera angles were so cool. It was chaotic. It was through the crowds. It was like, oh my God, it was so dope. This is where we get the new looks. Indra's head shaved. I mean, like Luke said during the rewatch, the weapons are dope. Shade Hata has got these like cool ass hair braids. He shaved his face. Mm. I'm like, this is hot.
I like the beard better though.
It's like we were watching Spartacus.
Damn right. Dude, check
out like Gannicus in the marketplace.
The hair did it for me, but I will say the opposite of you on the take with the camera angles. I thought it was a little like too close, it felt like, because you missed a lot. And like they were going in the beginning of the fight, like they were doing such a good job of showing the cool ass fighting choreography. And then as the fight was going on, it was like they were so close you couldn't see like how they were, their fighting styles, as they weren't as pronounced anymore. Like, I don't know. I think that the Reddit was pretty split on that too. Some people I saw saying like it was kind of shitty directing view, but other people were saying it was very creative. I don't know.
I go with creative because I'm like, I've seen so many fight scenes that are just straight up, hey, let's do the choreography. And I still thought this was really epic.
Yeah, I really liked it.
Yeah.
I felt like I was there.
I saw it as a little sloppy, like Luke's saying, but I know it's supposed to look chaotic. Like that's the point. So
yeah,
exactly. I think that was fine.
Oh, I really
it didn't take anything away from it for me. I just noticed it a lot.
Right. So
the only negative I noticed was when she disarms him and the sword flies into the lake. It just obviously the cut wasn't like very smooth, but that's whatever.
And then it was a little questionable. I think you said it.
He just runs directly.
Yeah,
at her,
and she doesn't like. Yeah. She could have just like dug her foot in and just literally held the sword out.
Yeah. Or girl Indra has a guy just running straight at her, and he just lets her lets him tackle her. But
Octavia would be freaking.
I know. And the most frustrating part is that, like, they probably had bullet points of what they wanted to do. Like, he knocks her down and, like, dazes her. And, like, they could have done it a different way.
Dude, they could have called our Spartacus choreographers and figured out a way to knock a sword out of someone's hand.
I liked it. I just think I agree. It's maybe a different way to knock her out. So then she rolls and kind of switches up the scenery. She runs past this like white sheet. She's trying to switch it up to maybe disorient him a little bit. They start fighting again. And then
she gets a nice stab on his shoulder.
She gets a nice stab on his left shoulder. And then he just gets her again. Like whoa, uppercut or something like that.
It's an elbow.
Flying. And then super cool. Maddie comes in flying. And gets him right in the eyeball.
Saves Indra's life, basically.
Indra's life, but I didn't want Indra to kill Shade Hata like we talked about.
That would have been the worst case scenario.
But if Maddie came in and did it as a sneaky thing, I would have liked that better. Mm-hmm. But all in all, even though Indra is one of the greatest characters of the show, I wish she died here.
It would have been the perfect death to raise the stakes of the final season of the show. Like, why? Yeah. It just didn't.
I do not like that she knelt. It's really out of character.
Yeah, what is her whole story now?
Well, I mean, I think some people were saying, too, that her kneeling for Maddie to save Maddie's life shows how she's grown as a grounder from the beginning where she
wouldn't even let Gaia cry over her dad.
Exactly. Like, I mean, she literally just said recently, too, this season, kind of saying you're weak to Gaia about stuff. Yeah. But I mean, grounder culture is when I lose, pretty much I fought honorably, my fight is over, kill me. Mm-hmm. I will not kneel, especially Indra, but she's kneeling to Shade Hata to save Maddie's life. So it is like a growing thing to prove like blood must not have blood, like going back to our girl Alexa. Yeah. But you know, I think it would have been way better if she was killed.
I said this earlier, I just don't think that someone can survive that. Like they wouldn't. I feel like Grounder, Shade Hater would be like, fuck you. I'll let Maddie live, but you got to die.
Well, I would think that. So she says, I'm kneeling if you save Maddie. That gets him what he wants. Everyone kneels. And now he's supposed to be like, he's Shade Hater. He's showing like, you follow me because I'm strong. You kill Indra right there.
Yeah.
Like, why not? You know, just be like, okay.
I think an issue was the whole reason he couldn't just straight up kill her. He needed her to submit to him to get Tree Crew to be full in.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Let her submit and then kill her. But then the Tree Crew would be pissed.
Tree Crew
is also standing there with.
Who else
the
are they going to follow? Like now that she's dead, just a couple of them will be like, "Hey, Shade Hata."
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question, but I don't know. Yeah. I just wanted her to die there. Not wanted her to die, but
I love her to death.
Yeah. Deaths are my favorite thing about shows. Well done deaths are my favorite thing about shows, and it just it was a perfect reason.
Also, I mean,
reason.
I guess it's kind of a parallel to her mom. I guess now she understands where her mom was coming from.
That's true. I don't mind that.
Yeah, that's good.
See, here's the thing. The 100 was never scared of killing the main characters. We got Wells and Charlotte and Finn right off the bat, like these like really big deaths. And I feel like they let up on
that
a little
bit. Same path as Game of Thrones. Once they hit a certain point, like they just stopped killing them. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But it's crazy though, because
what's happened at the end of this episode.
I agree, but it took till now, and they've added a ton of excellent characters, and they did kill Hatch, which made us obviously all very sad. We loved that guy, but I do think they let up on the savageness of no one's safe.
Right.
And also what you're saying, Kyle, about Dioza, like, big death, but 3 seasons compared to someone that's been there since season one is a huge difference. Right. That's you know, that hits you right in the heart. And I was about it.
Yeah,
I
like,
was like, she could die right now. And I was
series ender, like, 1 season left. You're thinking, like, you know, we don't want it to be, but like Murphy, Amori, like Echo, any of them, like the OGs,
it
you know?
Be fair game.
Yeah.
And technically, she's like a co-star, a guest star, a part-timer, right, Andrew?
Yeah.
No contract disputes, just end it.
I don't know. I mean, here's always the thing. You don't kill her here, so does she die? Because what's a better death than that?
Right.
That's always the
apex
issue.
Death,
well,
Andra.
Someone's got to be around until Clark and them show back up, because Murphy and Amori are going to be hiding. So, Indra's, I guess they got Maddie into the bunker. I mean, we'll get to that. But Indra's just going to be like, what the hell is she doing? She didn't go with Murphy and Amori, so she's just chilling. I mean, she should, I don't know. We'll see.
If this show, they could have killed her. And that, okay, so how I'm seeing, like, this is not going to happen, but this would be the crazy, they would have to have the biggest balls ever to do this. But, like, what if the whole purpose of the Sanctum storyline was to basically gear up Shade Hata to be the one to take the test?
Oh,
how
Jesus.
Fucking wild would that be?
I'd be so mad. I don't want Shade Hata to take the fucking test.
I mean, that would just be, like, the end of the human race.
Yeah, we'll get to it. We'll get to it.
That would be
because he is, like, the exact opposite of like what when Jordan talks about the test and like what is necessary to transcend from his perspective, it's the antithesis of Shade Hata. Like, violence shouldn't be what we need to transcend.
Right.
It's the equivalent of the White Walkers winning in Game of Thrones, which, you know, if they was done right, it could have been the most cultural icon thing that ever happened, you know?
Do not get Luke started, please.
I know, sorry. I'm getting
Okay, so we're still in the scene. Shade Hata is talking to the crowd, saying, kneel before me. He turns around, Maddie is no longer there. So then they get Knight and another follower, I don't think we have a name, and they say, you're coming with me, we gotta find Maddie, or what
he says, Maddie, go kill Maddie, pretty much.
Maddie,
he changed his mind. Though.
How did she escape, like, that circle
of
people?
Dumb,
like,
but,
she just disappeared, and she shows up right with Murphy.
She's sneaky.
Yeah. Also, he says, like, go kill her, and then he's like, well, on second thought, like, how about most people come follow me to go find these faithful motherfuckers?
Right.
So our next scene is we get them in the Raven Hatch bunker type radio.
The nuclear radiation. Yeah.
Yes, set, which is cool. Like Luke said,
I said
when
plus
we watch,
one for that because it gave
bring it back.
A little bit of a more purpose of that random episode that felt like
especially
filler.
Because that was a big Murphy and Amori episode, so it fits. This is a great scene between Murphy and Amori talking about what goes, and Amori's worried everyone, but Murphy has this great line. He says, today we survive, all of us. And then Amori says, don't look now, John, but I think you might just be someone worth believing in.
No.
Oh, that's an endgame quote right there.
That is the him taking the test build up. If that
there's so many people. I mean, we'll get into it later, but there's so many people that they're rumored to take the test that I've heard.
Oh, I love it. That's
it's
the
crazy.
Best thing to talk about.
But I mean,
that's a strong point of the 100 is that there's so many characters that we've been through so much with that like we believe in and we love. So.
The truth.
We're having a whole section before.
Okay,
Bang
good.
Mary
I won't even bring it up. Okay.
But also, this was the scene that you said that it was noted that Jackson's
missing.
Jackson was missing.
Yeah, Maury has the coat.
Yeah, it's so. I mean.
Why would he not have been there? Yeah,
and why
Amori's
is she
a
wearing...
doctor now?
Yeah, Dr. Amori, and she's like, you know what? I'll be a therapist too. Maddie, are you okay? Like, you just got blood smeared over. You're having
a
shitty goddamn week. But
I mean, the both of them. I mean, I almost called
Daddy,
Daddy
Murphy.
Yeah, well,
Daddy?
Murphy has kind of taken on a father
I'm
role.
I'm calling him Daddy.
I call Maury him Daddy has Murphy. Kind of been like a mother role yeah. all fucking season. Yeah. So
I don't know. She getting pregnant.
Did we mention it already? But I mean, I saw someone a theory out there floating that they're gearing up for if Clark dies. For Matt, for Murphy and Amori to be the parents of Maddie.
Oh, that'd be sweet.
Yeah.
The sentence, if Clark dies, I haven't even, like, I can't. Like, I have not even thought that that's a possibility.
Yeah. Yeah. But wouldn't you think if Clark dies, that's a big enough death to justify having a lot of the main characters live?
Yeah.
And Murphy would be one of them. And, like, if he took over Maddie, and that would be, that's a good ending.
Yeah.
That's satisfying, right?
Yeah. I mean, wouldn't Amori, like, want to have a child? Do you think, like,
oh,
with
yeah.
her, like, because she's freaked Raina?
With Daddy.
Yeah.
That wasn't a joke. I'm fucking serious.
No, she is freaked.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I guess that's a personal genetic mutation that she wouldn't pass on, but, like, maybe she's afraid. So, like, adoption would be another way.
I don't know. I just love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
Mom
I'm down
and Dad, for sure.
And before, I guess, we end Sanctum, I just want to mention that when they're back in the masker room with Russ Hayda and Knight, and he says, kill everyone,
mm-hmm.
and Knight's hesitant
right.
yeah.
to kill the children. I think that's definitely...
It could be something.
Yeah, that's definitely evidence of what Russ had been worried about at the beginning of the episode, that Indra's reign has influenced the Grounders to, like, a level of quote-unquote weakness.
I mean, nobody but, wants to fucking kill kids, but I like Shane's response that yeah, he's like, Shane. They grow up to get revenge, and they're not going to.
I mean, Murphy was exactly right about yeah. everything.
And Shane Hayda is, like, if taking morals out of it, is smart to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, any final thoughts on Sanctum before we move on to the meat of the episode?
We'll start talking about it again when we talk about who's going to take the test. We'll get yeah. into those characters again.
I don't even think we mentioned it, but I love the eye patch on Shade Hayda now that yeah. That Maddie gave him. And when he was, like, holding his eye, it was just black everywhere, well, black blood.
We love that. I don't awesome. Think you were in the room, but Jimmy mentioned that old Shade Hayda from last season in Maddie's mind space.
Has that missing eye.
Has that missing eye.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's funny, like, I brought it up before. It's not a huge deal, but
look at this humble brag.
When she goes to do the knife slash, okay, he's giving her his left eye. Like, that's the open eye, right? So he turns and she slashes, right? So she's slashing down right to left. So it would be going against his eye, but he moves just enough so it gets to the right eye and it skips the left eye. And I literally rewind it like 5 times to make sure it does. Like, he does give her enough of the turn so that it's possible.
Yeah.
Cause I literally saw it and I was like, that's the wrong eye. Yeah. Like, but end up being fine. But yeah, I mean, I don't know if they did it on purpose so that it's the same eye that was missing on Shade Hayda when mm-hmm. he was in her mind space. But
dude, I thought there was a chance that was going for the neck, like Anders style at the end of the
yeah.
episode. Like, and I would have been better with that than Indra just one-on-one combating, because that just would not have been satisfying enough for how yeah. hype we got for Shade Hayda this
It would
season.
Feel good for an important part of, like, something important for Maddie to do, to kill Russ mm. Hayda.
Yeah.
And if she's going to do it, it's obviously going to be that way and not solo combat against him.
I mean,
because right afterwards, he one hand just tanks her right to the ground. So
I'm ready for badass Maddie to come back, man.
Yeah. Jimmy brought this up prior, but Maddie in season 6, when they're down and they're finding out that she is a Nightblood, and she's trained, she can fight. She's
trained with Octavia.
Won,
like,
yeah, but she could fight prior because
yeah.
Gaia was training
yeah.
her, and they tell her, do not fight to your best ability, because they don't want Octavia to think she's a threat,
right,
to her reign, her blood reign, or whatever.
Right.
So we know that Maddie can. I feel like they're getting a little confused with what Maddie can, because she was Maddie while Bellamy kind of made her take the flame. It wasn't, she wanted to help.
She was all about it, and yeah. she was actually like badass in the beginning.
Exactly.
Like, she was like,
Clark couldn't even stop
yeah,
her.
Clark was the one who was like, you need to relax, and she was like, nope, I'm training
yeah,
with Octavia.
She changed her tune a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I mean, yeah. You're young, so you can get
yeah.
you can get
not
scared,
everyone.
And all of a sudden, shit, it's the fan, and you're back to being 14. But
yeah.
You know, because, you know, they were playing her off, and it makes sense. Like, she was young. She was with Clark. She didn't really have anyone around. She's just like Hope, kind of, where it's like she never had to deal with any real shit. So she's like, I'm a fucking badass.
Yeah,
you know, and then she starts dealing with some stuff. But
we'll get
Speaking
into Hope.
Speaking of Hope,
yeah,
let's
gosh.
Get to Bardo.
Came back up on the scene 5 episodes ago or something like that we ended on.
No, we ended up.
It was like 5 weeks. 5 weeks.
Yeah, so
life.
It would be
it wasn't,
before the prequel, right? Before the prequel, right?
No. Episode 9 just aired. It was prequel, no. And then 9, and then that's where it ended.
Yeah, but I'm saying 9, like nine was the getting to that stone room.
Yeah.
The prequel was getting to, like, was nothing to do with
the, literally
like
that, the story.
Yeah, nine.
The story of the prequel.
Eight and nine are flashbacks.
Right. The story of the prequel starts from him telling Clark in that room. Like that scene.
Yeah, that's it. It's so, been 5 weeks. Yeah. It's been like five real time weeks.
Okay, yeah.
Since
so,
we've seen this scene.
Yeah, and so we get the three.
Levitt's
Echo,
Angels.
Levitt's Angels, Echo, Octavia, and Dioza are in the Bardo suits. Clark is like, what the fuck is happening? Clark and crew. We find out a quick reveal that these three are just keeping face for Billy Cadigan. Well, I know we don't get that right the second, but Clark is like, what the fuck is going on? Come on back to Sanctum. And they all say, we're not going to do that.
We have a war to fight.
Well, Echo starts and walks right out. She just says, I'm not going to do that. And then they follow.
Dioza, and then
this continues with however many episodes ago it was when we had a discussion, I think me, Jimmy, Luke, and B-Toms about like how Echo's so hardcore, and then like the facial expressions of Dioza and Octavia are kind of given away they're not in.
Right.
And it happens again in this scene because Dioza's kind of like
picks
up the slack, like improv says something and Octavia doesn't say a word and kind of just turns around.
Right. Yeah, so I mean the gist is that Clark is saying, listen, I have the key. You're not going to be able to use it unless you let me and my friends leave. You know, or I guess, does she want all of them to leave, including her, or just let my friends leave and I'll stay? Okay.
Whatever it is, they don't want to go.
Yeah. Well, no, yeah, but that's what she's using the key as leverage, is what I'm trying to get at. Yeah.
And she says, what did you do to them? And then Anders answers from the fucking peanut gallery. Yeah. Anders, whatever. He doesn't even deserve to have his name pronounced right. And he's like, they chose this path. We did nothing.
And it's like, we did nothing. We just brainwashed them for 3 months.
We just dove inside their memories and edited them.
Fucking like, Anders, what? I hate that guy.
And that's when Clark gets a little badass again in her. I mean, she was kind of already in the process of being badass 5 weeks ago, but, you know,
Clark is really quick to just be like, okay, new plan then.
Yeah.
Like, no, you guys are not in? All right, fine, new plan. She's got backup plans for backup plans for backup plans.
I love
plans.
It, dude. She just whips out the gun, points to that bill, right?
I love the sound of her just being like, whoosh.
Yeah.
They get those clicks.
Well, she's so badass, she can have so many plans because literally nothing's off the table. She'll do anything.
Yep.
Yeah. I loved this scene. I'm going to put it out there. I thought Bill was great this whole episode. Mm. I thought like this was really good at showing how good he is at like social manipulation, basically how he even got to this position. Like all that was really done. And like, he's such a good liar.
Yeah. And he's like, so he's whimsical and nonchalant.
Exactly. Yep. He's just so confident in his plan and he just believes what he's doing, that it's kind of just, it's cool. It's just good to see on screen. I feel like it makes for a good counter villain to the opposite of like evil Shade Hata, you know, like they're both just way different types of villains and they're just awesome in their own ways.
Yeah, you were saying when we were rewatching that J.R. Bourne delivers the lines like so heavy and good, and then Bill has such like a light tone that it's a really nice, I was gonna say parallel because we use that word a ton, but it's not that.
Right
Yeah, it's like
dichotomy. It's definitely perpendicular.
Right
So we end up Clark kicking everybody out but Bill. So
how do they get out though? What's the quote? Who says the
quote? I wrote in my notes we're not gonna
mention it.
Oh, right, get the flock out.
Miller.
Get the flock out. An insane line. Yeah. Who wrote flock? I need to know. Say hell. Say don't say anything at all.
Yeah. I like to think in my head canon that they forced Miller's actor to say that line. I want him to have been like, yo, come on, guys.
Yeah, right.
It could have been something worse and maybe they've changed.
Yeah, right.
We'll get him on the pod and ask him.
Yeah, he'll be on the pod soon.
Nikki says bang bang. Nikki says pew pew.
Yeah, right.
So we end up with everyone getting the flock out. And then Billy C stays. So Billy
and
C
Gabriel.
With our people, all the disciples have to leave.
Anyone who's not our people, and you're right, Gabriel, that's not assumed, stays. So this was actually a sneak peek scene that we get prior to the episode, which was great. We watched it in the group. So the whole squad, they bring Bill Cadigan to the back so we can't hear. It's Gabriel, Raven, Nyla, Jordan, and Miller, and they're realizing, like, okay, they still think Clark has the flame in her head. They obviously didn't divulge that information that she does not, so they're on team Binge crew.
Who explains that to us? Who explains that to us?
Gabriel.
No, Jordan.
Oh, yeah, Jordan.
Jordan's the one that says, like, Jordan. They didn't tell them that she doesn't have the plane. Gabriel, so obviously they're not
the
bad.
Man just
and
said
I was like, yo, let's go. That's Jordan, a great Jordan moment.
Jordan has some good.
Jordan literally episode. Figured out what we had been arguing about for the past couple episodes.
Right.
Yeah, and they all, yeah, exactly. They confirmed that basically the once we stopped seeing Octavia in the MCAT, they did as well.
Right.
Like, they actually did not see the Blood Raina scene. They only saw, what is that one? Four seasons, 1 to 4.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, so they only saw that. Basically,
well, end of season 3 is Clark with the flame in her head. So if they stop there, it's the end of season 3.
And also, Gabriel explains what MCAP is.
Right.
Jordan explains why they're still on our side. Yeah. Why Levitt's Angel are still on our side. And Raven's like, oh, so cool.
Yeah. So
the kids have not turned. That's the reveal. Hell yeah. And we knew Dioza and Octavia had not. But
are we doing this now,
bro?
We're
gonna call you out, man.
Let's talk about
it. Scene.
Then, all right?
Is Echo showing up to her room to move her to Penance?
Yeah, because the last line of that scene is where Clark says, "Let's go find out what the three most dangerous women on this or any planet are up
That's
to."
That's awesome.
Levitt's Angels, baby.
Levitt's Angels.
Yeah, true.
Okay, let's do this thing. All right. So we're talking about how Echo. I said. Did anyone agree with me? Who was on my side? I thought
Ryan was on your side. Yeah,
so,
I think so.
The wrong side.
Yeah.
Yeah. So okay. So last episode, Echo decides that she is going to fully buy in, quote unquote, as a spy. You know, and that's the funny thing. Like, we should have known because she's a spy, but she's gonna buy in, quote unquote, so that they, meaning the disciples, think that she is on their side, so that she can do this plan, okay? And I said that I thought she fully bought in for real, okay? Now, a lot of people were actually saying, like, it's so obvious that she didn't buy in. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's so obvious because
hindsight is 20/20.
Right. Here's a couple bullet points, okay? So, in the episode where they're training throughout 3 months, okay? And Hope is getting
with Orlando?
Throughout the three months. So they're trying to brainwash him, and Hope is going, this is brainwashed. This is ridiculous. Echo is having private conversations with Hope, Octavia, and Dioza, saying things like, oh, well, they had a better childhood than me, or things that are making you look like she's buying in. Things that
nobody else was around for that conversation.
Well, no, it's just
they're in the room, not a cell anymore.
Yeah. I mean, unless you want to say that they're always being watched on the camera or something, which could be true. But so she has a few, and that's just one example, but then she does it a couple times where she has these private conversations making it seem like she's buying in, okay? So then the next thing that comes up is she does the training thing where they're trying to they're blindfolded and they're shooting, and she turns and shoots the other three, okay, the other Levitt's Angels. That's fine because that's fine spy stuff if you want to, like, be doing that to show that you're going to, you know, you're faking
it's performative buying in. Because they're all there.
So she goes and does that. She has no idea that Anders is going to choose her to pick Hope's fate, okay? He does choose her to pick Hope's fate, and she decides that she's going to send Hope to Penance to further make it look like she's buying in, okay? So now she's just assuming that she's going to be able to be so trusted by the disciples that she's going to be able to save Hope at some point, okay? She doesn't tell Dioza, Octavia, or Hope this plan, because we know that, because they say, even in this episode, you know, she's just, why is she letting Hope go to Penance? Why is she doing this? Why is she doing that? They don't know the plan, okay? So Hope does all this, just so she can get to Levitt, torture him, get the Gem 9.
Echo does all this.
Yeah, right. Oh, I'm sorry. Echo does all of this. So she can get to Levitt, torture him, get the Gem 9, and use that to just kill everybody. Now she's assuming that she is going to get to Hope, save her, and she's going to tell Hope that she's going to kill everybody, and she's assuming that Hope's not going to tell anybody, and then she's just going to let everyone leave in 24 hours.
Shitty plan, for sure.
But that how would you – none of that makes sense as a spy.
Yeah.
And it's still a better plan than Levitt letting them survive for an hour on the surface.
I mean, I might have went way too far into that, but what I'm trying to
I agree with you. The worst part about it for me is that the private conversations The worst case scenario is that they only put those scenes in to trick us as right. the viewers, and that's bullshit.
That's what I'm – yeah, okay. You just said what I was trying to say in like 2 seconds.
Only because I don't like that. If they're purposely giving us scenes and the only reason that scene is there is to mislead us as the viewers, seems like not fair because there's no way – like we don't have any way to figure that out.
She's literally playing double agent without letting the other side, meaning Hope, Dio's, and Octavia know that she's playing double agent. That's the point I'm trying to make. And – like, she does things that you can't justify unless other people know.
Yeah. And so, also, like, they chose the final test for them to become disciples is the exact thing that happens this episode, where Echo shows up and is like, we got this much time, we're doing this on the plan, here's the plan, are you in or out?
Right.
And Hope, again, agrees. Yeah. So it's kind of like, yeah.
All right, so... thank you, Jimmy, for that really long-winded analysis on how you are wrong.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Hey, he's trying to defend himself. I respect it.
I respect it, too. Love you, Jimmy.
I actually want to say something, and we're going all the way back to Sanctum, and this is I'm looking at my notes because I was using my notes. They just decided, and this is a good thing, they just decided that they were like, we're not going to kill Trey. We're not going to give Trey any screen time for his death. We're just going to get him off the screen.
I didn't even think about Trey.
Yeah, fuck Trey.
Trey and Jackson. Just a...
all my homies hate Trey.
Jackson's like, coming back.
I made a specific point that he wasn't in the room when Shade Hated started killing people. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking he's going to show up now, but they're just like, nah, let's get him off.
He's not in
he's
the bunker.
He's going to come up in full grounder gear and be like, I'm ready.
All right, true, dude. Let's jump back.
All right, cool. So Nyla, Gabriel, and Jordan stay with Bill, and then the rest
get a quick scene where Echo basically, this is the rescue scene where she saves Hope. This is the big reveal that we kind of already knew she wasn't going to be a double agent because of what Gabriel was saying, but she saves Hope, tells the plan, doesn't tell Hope the plan.
Just says you got an hour. You have 1 hour.
Well, she loves not telling people the plan.
Yeah, for real.
Well, that's the test.
Right, and it pisses me off even more that she's like, "Oh, you really thought that I was buying in, whatever." Yeah. And it's like you kind of were, unless you're
Jimmy.
In private conversations.
I got like 5 more minutes to talk.
If I am Octavia, Dioza, and Hope, I believe her.
Right, exactly.
That she's bought in.
Yeah,
definitely.
I mean, she could have just whispered to them, like, I'm not it.
Right, right.
Yeah, but, like, they didn't show us that. Yeah, all they showed us was private
conversations. And we know that she didn't because they said it.
This next
Echo
so
and Hope
good.
Are bad news for the record. Yeah. But I want more of their relationship from the 5 years they were just with Gabriel. Like, I want it more.
We're not getting any of that.
We're not getting any of that now that Hope is ruined, and we'll get to that. Yeah. But she is fucking ruined for the rest of the season for sure. Yeah. But next scene.
Echo leaves to go do her plan. She sends Hope to go save everybody else. Now we're back in the Stone Room part 2. And I love this scene because, I mean, Kathleen, you disagree with me because you said things out loud when we were watching. But I thought it was cool when, Bill's basically just back to Nyla and Jordan and overhears them talking in grounder speak. I'm not
going to know. Bro, Trigata slang.
Trigata slang.
And he starts like, and the, one of the cool things that we notice right away is that when he asks about Callie, his daughter, they call her the
prime flame keeper,
the first flame keeper.
Right. Now this just came up in my head. So Bill is doing all this. I guess he doesn't really know how the flame works 100%. But like Bill asks Clark, like is Callie in there? And that would kind of give it away that she shouldn't be in there if she's the flame keeper. And
when we rewatched, he says Pram what doesn't matter, and you said that's going to be an important quote. And I think it could be he realized that she was the keeper, didn't have it in her head, so he the first crumb Clark's lying.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Echo Prom Hada means first. She's the first Hada, and then Prom flame keeper means she's the first. So. He's in his head saying, okay, first, but he doesn't know what flame keeper means. Flame keeper, in my head, I'm like, okay, she's the keeper of the flames in her head.
Yeah.
That's right.
I mean, it could. Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know what they saw on MCAP, if they saw Titus being the flame keeper in season three.
Yeah. And that could be a legitimate breadcrumb, though.
Yeah. Nyla just fucking
throw away line if not. So I think it does.
But it's very interesting, though, that we know that she was a flame keeper. She wasn't.
We kind of thought that it was going that way anyway. But.
Right, yeah.
Nyla's like, this is awkward.
Nyla drops the cool-ass quote about, because he's asking about Callie, And she says, legend has it, when she died, even her enemies wept. So she's going to be awesome. Mm-hmm. Like, shit's going to be dope when she's, like, at her peak power in the prequel.
And we said, like, we want this the prequel. Is good yeah. on their part. You got to hype up Callie because she's going to be
I
her
love
main
Callie.
Heroine.
Yeah, no, Callie's great.
They're doing themselves a favor.
Also forgot to mention that Gabriel's also still in the room at this time. Mm-hmm. So we do get a cool conversation between Gabriel and Bill directly. You know, Bill kind of turns to him and says, like, I heard you're like me. You're immortal. You're from Earth. From the time like I was there, all the and you were worshipped by your people. Gabriel, as we know him, like kind of rejected all of those notions after a couple hundred years of living with Josephine. So but it was cool seeing Bill's like, I love talking to people from my time that know about my Earth, you know. That was a cool moment. But he also mentions one thing, and I wanted to ask you guys real quick. He says, he claims to have learned a lot as the centuries have passed, but he survived off of cryo, meaning
so
he's only been alive for a normal amount of years.
The same exact thing.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's not like he's been learned. Like, he might have woken up every 100 years just to tell me what's good with the logs.
Exactly. Right. That's because when he, I mean, okay, when at the end of the scene when he shows them, they deciphered the language, and he's like, it took us hundreds of years.
Yeah.
That just got my mind thinking of, like, how many times was he woken up and then put back to sleep?
It makes more sense with the first time he got woken up by Anders, too, because he's like, oh, you again. Yeah. Didn't even, like, put his name to memory because it was probably just every time he woke up, is the key here? Are we good with the logs? Yeah. No? All right, good night.
Yeah. Well, that's and more like, of his, like, big head where he's like, we're immortal, like, including himself, but, like, he just is in a cryo chamber. If he's immortal, literally everyone else is immortal.
Like, Clark's immortal.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. I mean, he does say we're all gods. We're just waiting for transcendence, but he's just a smack.
This is a really cool because this whole season, we know that the Bardoans, Bardoites, whatever we want to call them, have been waiting for this last war. Thousands of years, this last war. It's like, where are they getting this? How do they know that there's a last war? And this is where the logs that Luke's mentioning
come
in.
One of my favorite plot-telling devices.
Exactly. So awesome. They have the logs, and only half of it is decoded, and they had been spending centuries decoding it. And when it told
them... Wait, did they say only half? I thought they thought it was all decoded. They're just waiting for...
No, the key will decode the rest, I thought.
I thought the point of the key is just to put in
the
code.
Kyle, you watched it three times. What do you think?
I thought, the key is just the seven.
They don't need it to decode the message. They think they decoded the whole language the right way, alphabet by alphabet.
I literally have it written. It will encode the rest of the code. I remember typing it and being like, I said code twice. But anyway, I don't know. I that's what I thought. We'll get clarification on that.
It's actually not even too groundbreaking when Bill says, like, all right, have at it, basically, I'm going to lunch, whatever. And when they start talking about the logs real quick, you know, it's basically what we've been talking about, the keywords being like transcendence, judgment day, all this stuff. So
this is another great Jordan scene where he confronts Bill to his face and says, like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, why would our lowest form be what takes us to our highest form of transcendence? Like, violence should not be the answer. And
that's Monty's,
like,
son right there.
It is what it is.
Say what you said, because is that at the later, whatever you said? That okay, that's later.
Yeah, cool. And then, you know, Bill's whole point of this is saying that he thinks the last war will end violence and they're just going to transcend the human race.
Mm-hmm. And Nyla says everyone thinks this war is the last war.
Yeah. Everyone until gets nice jabs in on Bill, because I love him and Gabriel's back and forth, because Gabriel thinks he's a scumbag.
Yeah.
Nyla's like, you're an idiot. Jordan's like, this guy's a fucking maniac.
Yeah. He's keeping his cool, though.
Yeah,
but that's when he actually goes off to lunch and says he just walks out of the room.
Yeah, like, I was going to say. Annoying. Yeah, okay, good. I'm glad you guys, because literally Clark says, don't let him leave. He just says, yo, I'm rolling out. And they're just like, okay. And then Gabriel's like, oh, I'll go to lunch.
Well,
don't let
him. So they have to hold the room. Don't shoot him or we lose our leverage.
That end, they said hold the room. That's why Jordan. But I said this when we were watching. Jordan, Nyla, and Gabriel are the least. They're such wuss soldiers. Yeah. Like,
I literally
don't
do
much physically. Yeah. Yeah, Nyla's script is so polarizing. Like, she has a nice quote, and then the next thing she says is so, like, eye-rolling, like, get the flock out of here, even though that was Miller. Like, I hate it.
And I'll say what I said during the episode. I love Jessica Harmon, so I'm a stan. I watch iZombie. She was a main character in iZombie. Love her. Love the Harmons in general, but I really don't see Nyla's point in this at all. But glad she's in it, because I love her, but it seems like...
She's such a peanut gallery character. Yeah. And it's so... obvious that her whole point is just these little lines she just throws in from the back of the crowd.
She's another one in the next scene, but we'll get that.
But I love you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, hey.
In case she's listening.
She's hot. I mean, she brings more to the table than just that, but she is hot.
So our next scene, right?
Yeah.
It's Dioza and Octavia in their room, kind of like pacing, freaking out a little bit. Well, Octavia is a little bit more, right?
Yeah, because now this is what I was getting at. They're both freaking out because Hope pretty much said, we're not coming with you.
Yeah.
So they're thinking that, Echo said, we're not coming with you. And they're still thinking, okay, is Echo on the other side?
When Dioza is pacing and complaining, she's talking about Hope though, right?
Yeah, because she's saying, why would she let her?
When we're complaining about Hope, like, why are you doing, like, why are you being irrational?
She's worried that Hope's going to penance. No,
she's saying, why would Echo let her go to penance?
Okay.
Send her to penance. That was what, you know.
Clark walks through that room, and O and her look at each other, and just big old hug, and my heart grew 10,000. It grew 100 sizes.
So it went 10,000 to 100. That's not that good.
Yeah, but 100. Come on.
All right, give us an example of a 10,000.
Let me think about that.
Get back to us.
God, this has been a lot. But so yeah, it's really nice to see these two get along after 7 seasons of everyone hates Clark at some point. Everyone hates Octavia at some point, but these two have been at odds for a long time. And
honestly, they gave a lot. They gave him almost more screen time to Miller and O's reunion.
Yeah.
Which I thought was pretty powerful, but I just didn't necessarily remember
just
the strife, but like, yeah.
Well,
like,
that was because they were both in the bunker.
The bunker, yeah, which is fine. But I mean,
my take was that
nobody wants to think about the bunker.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. My take was that Octavia, as a human being, is just a representative of the mistakes that Miller has made.
Yeah.
So, Octavia mentions that I knew you'd show up, whatever, and I was like, yes, he did.
Yeah.
Clark always shows the fuck up.
Yeah, and then Raven was like, yeah, like, thank you for keeping it cards down on the plane thing.
Exactly. Love that. This is a great scene. And then guess who busts through the door? The most coolest Hope, even though she's not very cool in this one. I just love her so much. And I love the reunions of so Hope busts in. Everyone is guns up being like, who's this bitch?
Yeah.
And then literally, who says it? Time dilation is a bitch.
She's like, that's my daughter. Because time dilation is a bitch.
Yeah. Murphy gives her a little eyebrow. He's like, the fuck?
Wait, not Murphy. Miller.
Miller, my bad.
Yeah. And so she looks dead at Clark, dead at Raven, dead at Miller. Name drops them and said, you described them well.
Yeah.
And that's my heart grew 10,000 times.
That's literally Maddie. Like
exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that's the best because when they're in the
son, I like that a lot.
When they're in the truck, Murphy's like, Octavia's my favorite. Sorry, Murphy. And I love that.
Maddie
Murphy's
says
just
that.
Like, oh, yeah, Maddie's. God, we are fucking
up.
Yeah, we're
messing up the names.
We won't do it again.
It's the juice. It's the Joe juice.
No, but we're good here. I love that scene. Was definitely it was cool to see all those reunions, but it leads directly into Hope basically saying,
well, they move out of the room.
Yeah, yeah,
it's like
but
the same scene, right?
I think that doesn't she divulge the information that Echo's basically going rogue
right now?
Yeah,
she says we have 1 hour.
Yeah.
She's like, I don't know the plan, but we gotta go.
Yeah, and that's when Octavia says out loud like she's getting revenge, right?
Yeah,
yeah,
and then
for Echo being like, I don't want to tell you Hope the plan because you'll tell them. They figured it out immediately.
Yeah, but I mean, she did say I'm gonna kill them all.
Yeah,
she just didn't tell them the plan.
And also, Raven and Dioza are speak up and say, where's Echo? I thought it was interesting that it was Raven and Dioza.
Well, that
ties in, I guess, to the end of the episode.
Well, that's the thing, too, because Raven and her were together.
Exactly.
We're sisters.
And honestly, the only reason they actually find out the plan is because Hope, I think, says Levitt. Like, he got the information on Levitt, right?
And Octavia says, we need to go find Levitt because he didn't give it to her.
Yeah, there's no way he would have just helped her.
But then
I also like how Octavia turns and it's like, I'm going to Levitt. And then everyone just kind of follows her.
Yep.
Levtavia.
Levtavia. We love you, Levitt. So, yeah, this is a good Dioza Hope scene. Mm-hmm. They're arguing. Dioza's kind of like, why would you not stop her? And then she says, killing innocent people for a cause isn't going to fill the hole in your heart. And then Hope says, there are no innocent people here, and bounces.
Dude, Dioza's just trying to instill the learnings of a terrorist into her and say what she got from it. But
I'm a little upset you didn't finish the quote there.
Oh, what?
She says, only we can do that.
Only we can do that.
That's a 10,000 times heart grower.
Yeah, God. Love, baby.
So the next time we're going to see them is with Levitt. So in between that scene, we get lunch with Bill.
Yeah, what a fucking prick.
Kombucha, avocado toast.
And an avocado.
I love this scene.
Where do they keep the fish on Bardo?
Yeah,
for sushi?
Truly.
How do they even have it?
They have those baby tanks. They have fish tanks.
Oh, like that's true. They could grow their own fish, probably.
They grow babies, they grow fish.
So this is the scene that I just, like, the first time I was watching, I just, like, said out loud. I was like, Bill is just so good at social manipulation, and he did it so well in this scene. Just like how he was talking to Gabriel, like everything was under control, like everything's going according to plan. He's just like kind of, you know, he's going to walk him to the point he's trying to get to, but the way he gets to it is just clearly he's just a master of propaganda and just controlling people. And we got some, I laughed at some of the lines here. I know, Kathleen, you cringed at a little bit of it, but like when he starts talking to Gabriel about time on Earth, like, and he says like the memes.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny as shit.
Like, yeah. I thought like that was the a meme corny thing. Ass line. Yeah,
well, they're like our age. Almost.
Yeah, because it's like 2050, whatever, so
we're 30 years in the future. Yeah. Like, oh my God, Bill's about our age.
Bill's a little bit older. Yeah.
Am I Bill?
Please don't be.
This is Bill's origin story. Yeah. Is the podcast?
I was chosen. Yeah, right. I was chosen.
A second dawn over.
Carl's getting some ideas in his head. Were you a burger flipper too? First.
Yeah. Nah, bro. I'm a fishlinger. I'm a monger. Born and raised.
Count it. But I think we also get Bill. Bill gets always. He always gets triggered when anyone ever says Second Dawn is a cult.
Yes.
Like, even if he doesn't physically like get that mad, like he just says like, we're not a cult. Like,
yeah,
we weren't a cult.
But being right is always good for business.
Hell yeah, it was.
Great line. I want to shout out, because I feel like we've kind of been harsh on Gabriel lately, and I want to say that he's redeemed himself, and also acting is great.
He's
like,
great this episode.
Oh my God, I remember the first time watching the lunch scene, some of the choices he was making, just in like the subtleties, I was like, wow, I love this guy.
No, for sure. And like, that's when, so after they get through all like the basic, you know, greetings of the lunch,
yeah,
and they get into like what they're actually there to talk about and what Bill wants to talk about and stuff. When Gabriel calls him out for saying like, you think you're a god or whatever, Bill has the cool line basically saying that he doesn't claim to be the god of the disciples, for the disciples, and he doesn't even believe in God, but he does believe he's chosen. Chosen for what? Obviously is going to be linked to the judgment day. What he thinks is he's going to be the one that represents the human race.
Well, Gabriel's like, well, chosen not by God, then by who? And he said, well, I guess we'll find out when we win the war. It's like, you are putting all of your eggs in this basket and have no idea what it even is.
For
he's like, it doesn't matter who, I'm going to butcher this quote, but he's like, it doesn't matter who we are. We don't matter, as long, even us who have lived lifetimes of lifetimes, we don't matter. It matters what comes next. And he has no idea what that means.
Yeah. Well, he says it because Gabriel says, obviously has a negative experience with people revering normal people as gods. And Bill says, like, you can thank me when we save you, or you can join us.
Right.
And it's just like, he's such a cocksmack.
Yeah.
I like one of Gabriel's lines is like, love, family. Those are the things that connect us. We're not just DNA. We are emotion. Without that, what are you fighting for? And it really is just the complete opposite of all the morals of the hundred, or not morals, but
exactly.
Yeah, like they said, and then Bill comes back with, have you ever done something you regret in the name of love? And I'm like, yes, every season of the hundred, every character, yeah, always.
Yeah. I mean, this was on my third rewatch. Really noticed how Shade Hada's view of love and Bill's view of love in this same episode is very similar, because Shade Hada goes to Maddie and was like, you chose love, like you chose weakness,
right,
instead of being strong. And Bill is like, you guys choose love, you choose, like, he sees it as not weakness, but it's like an insanity.
Yeah,
like it's a terrible emotion for you to make decisions off
like
of
what you personally want versus what would be good for
he
everybody.
Sees love as selfish,
yeah,
right,
and Shade Hada just sees it as straight weakness, because why not be the strong king?
Right
Yeah, I thought that was just like an interesting little parallel. But the way they do it, like we talked about, whatever, 10, 15 minutes ago,
opposites.
Is so opposite. Yeah. Yeah.
Something I noticed this scene, they spend a lot of time zooming in on Bill and Gabriel's face. Gabriel is a level 3 in this scene. And that's probably what he is, right? Like, in terms of Bardo society, disciple society, because he's been there for months, right?
Yeah, no, that's
so, like,
legit.
That's what he is, right? That's just
like the girls have legit, that they're
two.
Actual Bardoans, whatever.
So, I mean, you remember how you were saying, Luke, that you were mad at him for his decision when he tried to save them? That's fine. We're done with that. But the next thing was that, you know, he was told by Anders that if you join our side, we'll tell you why Clark's the key, or why we need the key. And then it kind of seemed like he bought in. You know, I guess, again, he was faking. But, like, right when Clark and them show up, he's like, all right, I'm back, baby. You know, so are we again assuming that that was just him playing his role until it was the right time?
Yeah, because I also think that what they did end up showing him was probably just the logs, right? Like they probably just showed him the decoded version of the logs, their own decoded version of the logs.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, but it looked like, again, maybe he's acting, but like it looked like he, like, whatever they told him at the time, he was just like, oh shit, like maybe, you know. But what is that? He know that we know what the logs say, and that doesn't mean anything to us. Yeah. Still.
I mean, it's obvious now because we've had him speaking and combatively basically with Bill that like he doesn't buy in to the bullshit.
So he must have just been trying to survive.
Yeah, I just think it's him and Echo had the same idea, but she does it the spy way and he does it the scientist way.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Heard that.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's fine with me too. And then this is when, so they're pretty much done their conversation, their mm-hmm. philosophical conversation. Crazy meeting of the minds.
It was
and
a
then,
good one.
Yeah, it really was. And then this is when Anders walks in. And Gabriel just kind of gets manhandled by him. He's
truly.
Like, get up, get out. Gabriel tries to leave with the gun. He just takes the gun from him without even looking at him. Gabriel's like, okay, goes back to the stone room, whatever. And I thought it was cool just to point out that the second Gabriel leaves the room and Anders is looking at Bill, and he's like, we have a problem. Bill's like whole demeanor changes to dead serious. Like,
right.
What is this issue? Like he actually was totally putting on a front for Gabriel. Cause you know, like that's just his thing. And I just thought that was awesome.
And then we get enter our favorite guy, Jason Diaz himself, Mr. Levin, yeah. Tied up and bloody.
At the scene of the crime.
At the scene of the
both
crime.
Both the torture and him making love to my baby girl, Octavia.
So
some bullshit.
This was in the trailer. We had no idea why. And we talked to him about it. Why? And I was not expecting Echo to be the one.
I was not either.
Be the one torturing him.
Yeah, and come on, Jason. Like, don't give it up. You've never been tortured before. Like, you kill people, a couple people in front of you, and you're giving up all the information. Like,
yeah,
come on,
soft.
Son. They're gonna kill all Bardo.
He's a disciple, man. He's
just
weak.
Just kidding. And it's interesting though because Levitt's tied up. O goes to untie him, and Clark's like, "Nope, don't." And she just kind of goes back. Yeah. They're really trusting each other this episode. Yeah. Clark and O are following mm-hmm. each other's lead. Honestly, like, probably they shouldn't be because
definitely shouldn't be
right, but they really are, and especially because Clark has no idea that Octavia is 10 years older than she knew her before, 15 years, whatever it is.
Let me just throw this quote at you that I saw online during a review of the episode. Now, I don't know if this is 100% true or not, I'm just reading a quote, and you guys can tell me because we're talking about the time of like when things have happened. So, they're saying that when Clark and Octavia hugged, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is like sarcasm, obviously. They're saying, Clark says, Octavia, I know just a few short weeks ago in my timeline, Bellamy poisoned and almost killed you because you had sentenced me to death, and then you put him in the fighting pits as punishment. But amazingly, we all survived, and then you helped him save my life, and now he's dead. I'm very sorry for the loss we both share. So, like, they're saying a couple weeks ago.
Oh, like, that's like a sarcastic quote.
Like, yeah, that's sarcasm. Okay. Like, why are they trusting each other? Why are they hugging each other?
It's because it's the last season, and we need to wrap these up.
Yeah.
In 11
yeah,
minutes.
Basically that.
But they did it for me, honestly. Yeah. For me.
Well, I mean, I guess they're just assuming, like, so much time's passed in the show.
Well, they're saying
like,
3
for
weeks.
Us, in terms of, episodes and seasons, but in the show, I mean, it's the same problem that we have, that we're going to say this right now, with One Piece, that, like, the chapters and the arcs take years in real world time, but it happens over the course of a day in the story, and it's like
it into context.
Yeah, it's hard to constantly remind yourself of that.
But hold on, back to our boy Levitt, because we did the first quote before that even scene where they try and untie him. He does have like a really good. He delivers that emotional part where they're like, "What the hell happened?" Basically, and he's like, "She killed two people in front of me and beat me up," and he's like, "I broke," and I was like, "So sad." It was good, man. Jason,
yeah, that was
great
good.
Job.
That was good.
Yeah, he also has another great quote, but we'll say that in a second. He gets super hype when he notices Clark's there, and he's like, the key has landed.
Yeah.
That's because, like, that's instilled in him. As,
that's
like,
a disciple.
His whole,
in him, yeah,
exactly. That just, like, came out. Then, you know, like, before they go to unleash High or whatever, and then he tells the plan. He told Echo how to not only get Gem 9, but what to do with it in order to weaponize it.
Then Raven starts getting all technical about it and starts saying, well, if they drop in there, the humidifier will make it airborne, whatever the quote is. And then what does he say?
He just says, like, Raven Reyes. Of course you would know that.
Of course you would know that.
That was so great.
It's the same as Hope recognizing Clark and Raven. It's so, I mean, ugh. I love
it. It's just like the equivalent of Gabriel finding out new science information. He's just like, that's like everything he cares about, like, mm-hmm, now because of Octavia.
Well, that was, I guess, the first episode we meet him. I think Jimmy says it on the podcast.
he's just us watching
he's us watching the show,
The 100. So he's just a fan, and also Jason's a fan in real life, of watching the characters.
I want there to be some sort of, like, Raven and Clark memorial. They go, how the fuck do these guys know us? Like, how are these people recognizing us? What the fuck?
Everybody knows Clark Griffin in the galaxy.
I know. Damn right. Truly, she is the key. But so then they're leaving, like, they're leaving, and she wraps him back up.
Levin makes the plea because he genuinely just wants to stop Echo, go get some help from other disciples so that his whole people don't get massacred. That's when Octavia sandbags him without even kissing him. Like, what the fuck was that?
It was sweet, though. Also, was like,
they
made some
good they're content. Going to stop Echo, and he agrees with them going to stop Echo, so why not bring him along? I don't get
it. They just think that if they let him go, he's going to start telling people. They would have to be watching him. Like, maybe with him.
Not enough time for Octavia to convince them that he's good. I don't know. There's something.
Clark's
there.
Like, this freaking guy, kill him. I don't care. He's not one of us.
But I think we can officially say, like, 1,000,000%, Levitt is evil is off the table.
Off the table.
Yes.
He pretty much confirmed that for us.
I will swallow that L.
Yeah. That's another L.
That's a nice slice of humble pie.
I'm pretty sure I've had a lot of humble pie.
We're glad.
Yeah, Jimmy's full of humble pie.
So Levitt's still alive. We're going to get him for another few episodes. I don't know if next episode is full belly.
Well, no, he was in the trailer for next episode. So
he's alive?
Jason's definitely going to be
alive. Well, he's cleaned up, too.
Yeah.
All right, now we're back to Stone Room
Part 3. Oh, wait, also, I just want to say I kind of wanted O to punch him again. Like, one more punch.
For what reason?
He's already beat up.
To knock him out, he's tied up.
We got
to
make it look good.
Give him a big kiss, then just knock him the freak out.
Definitely a kiss first, and then a knockout.
All right, so this takes us to the Stone Room for the last time of the episode, and I just thought it was important to point out, because this talk, everything about Nyla, she's like doing like a little walk, like a playful, like, like if the police said walk in a straight line to check if you're DUI, she's doing doing that in the background, like, you know,
bored. She's bored. Just being bored.
Like,
yeah.
What the hell is this, man?
Wait, why didn't you point that out when we were watching?
I was going to, but I think we were talking about something else. But yeah, so then Jordan's grinding over there, Monty style, looking at all the logs, like figuring out what he has to figure out. And Nyla's just like in the background, like, you know,
yeah,
it's a little weird. I'm happy you noticed that.
Yeah,
too,
I definitely did.
So you want to get into your Jordan thoughts, Kyle?
Yeah, so Jordan, the son of Monty,
and Harper,
starts talking about how when him, Monty, and Harper were the only ones alive on the Allegis ship, right? Mm-hmm. That Monty forced him to learn Korean. He didn't want to do it, but Monty forced him to do it. And he starts to explain how in the Korean language, he thought that every symbol, like, it represents like a word, and that the whole language would be a bunch of symbols, but each pen stroke can represent a word and a letter, things like that. So he believes that they decoded the Bardoan language wrong, and explains that they would not know multi-word phrases like last war. They would interpret it wrong because they're thinking of the characters in the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
So he basically says that it's not a war, it's a test.
Mm-hmm.
And Nyla, the whole time, her peanut gallery is like not agreeing with him,
right?
Saying, like, you're only doing this because you don't want to believe what he thinks. And right. Jordan counterpunches with, well, he's doing the same exact thing. And I just love this. I've talked a lot of shit on Jordan,
right?
This is a great Jordan episode, and I love that this is Monty once again from the grave this time helping save the world.
Jordan needed this, man.
Yeah,
for sure.
He really
I love
did.
That Monty bit.
Yeah, man.
Like,
Monty
still saving
is
the
still,
gang,
yeah,
still
dude.
Contributing.
But Monty out here saving later. The world.
While you're saying what Nyla was saying, like, I had the out loud thoughts of what Nyla was saying too. Like, they've been studying this shit for hundreds of years. How is Jordan just going to show up here and freaking decode something in 5 seconds and be like, oh, you're wrong?
Yeah.
I was a little like, he was speaking a little too confident about this theory that he just made up five
also,
minutes ago.
Also, the guy who Gabriel is, when Gabriel's like his first day on the job, for lack of a better term, when he's asking, like, when's the last time you guys figured something out? And it is an Asian guy who says, we figured out blah, 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 like, before I was born.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So, and like, you could... I mean, I don't know if that's a complete coincidence,
right?
That they made it an Asian guy who, I mean, I could assume that he might know a language that's similar to Korean that is built up that same foundation of the pen stroke teach matter.
See, the thing is, like, if you think about it, the only people that could figure that out are the people that are during the time period of Earth, because, like, Monty and stuff, because Korean, if it wasn't around hundreds of years, it might disappear as a language.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that guy's how I'm a generation.
Yeah, so he
away.
Probably doesn't, he just That's knows, that, you know, so, yeah. you know, Jordan getting it from Monty, you know, if they didn't find out right away, it could have just disappeared over the couple years or a couple hundred years and never yeah. a chance.
And it would
again.
Make sense that there's only however many people, the disciples that make the journey to Bardo. So let's just be efficient as possible. That's right. their whole motto, basically. So we're all using one language, all
yeah,
that kind of stuff.
That's
so.
How you would want to
yeah.
do it 1,000%.
Makes sense.
You're not worried about preserving.
Yeah. I just thought of that, that was interesting that it was an Asian man who says
well, and
he was
also,
working on the code breaking team.
And also, like, Second Dawn, like, going into the bunker, it's the only people that could make it in time. And you know, they're all from America. Like, mm-hmm. you know, like, it would have to be. Some random person that's like, oh, I know Korean.
Well,
too.
Monty was from America.
No, but what I'm saying is, like, it has to be that random situation yeah. because, yeah. like, they're not having all these different cultures, like, yeah, actual yeah. cultures. Like, no one came from Europe or whatever. It's whoever could get there in time. I mean, did Second Dawn, do we know if it was expanded that far?
No, I think it was just the main bunker. Yeah, it
yeah.
was
just literally, yeah. I mean, what is it, 2 years
in
the main bunker,
that room,
then they found
so
the
That's
stone
what I'm saying.
Then,
I mean,
if there was other bunkers of Second Dawn, it wouldn't have mattered.
Right, exactly.
Regardless, Jordan's right.
Yeah, Jordan's definitely
That's a big
I'm
definitely
on team
right.
that he's
and,
right.
And this reveal is awesome.
I love
a
it
test
in the best
instead
way
of a
ever.
War.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
so,
so much
And
better.
That just opens up. That's Endgame. The test is literally Endgame. Who's taking the
yeah.
test?
Yeah. And
we'll
that,
talk about it later
Because
now?
We have been...
Well, let's finish the scene because Gabriel comes
yeah,
in and changes.
I just will say, we have been arguing, like, what the hell is the final war? Like, who are they fighting? But this is so much better that it's the judgment
that
test.
That reminded me of something, though. But because we were just... Because a couple episodes ago, we talked about the... Because the whole thing was... They don't know who they're fighting. So I guess that just completely, now that we know it's a test or whatever, the final war is the judgment day. Finally, we can just remove the third species off the table.
Yeah,
right. Yeah.
But
thankfully.
They like alluded to that so hard for no reason because they weren't trying to trick Echo and Octavia into
yeah.
thinking there was a third, you know.
Well, at that point,
right.
that's the knowledge that the people in the show have.
It's the
so
narrative
that we
that,
have.
Right. It's a narrative yeah. that there's some kind of war. We don't know who we're fighting, but you need to be ready for it.
Yeah.
They just
like,
so
and be
heavily
scared.
Implied that this, there was a species like on the planet. You know?
Right,
like,
right.
That was worth talking right. about, but thank God that they didn't take that route.
Yeah. So and, to wrap the scene up, okay. Gabriel is curious, obviously. He says that if there's a test, then there's no way in hell that Bill could be the one to take it. Because Jordan does put forth the idea, like, should we tell them?
Right.
And he's like, no. Then he's, like, explaining to me. So we get back into the, so my father's side of the family was Korean.
Yeah,
right.
and that
I like that.
That part saved the, I was bitching a little bit earlier on purpose, just to bring it up again, where I was saying, like, why is Jordan so confident in what he just did? Gabriel had the same thought as me and walked up. He's like, all right, you got to show me. Like, you know, like I'm not just taking this at face value.
Right.
Start showing me what you're saying. So that was like a really well, you know, Gabriel moment. That's like old Gabriel before we start
yeah.
shitting on a mid-season. Well,
I mean,
did,
this episode, I wrote in my notes, Luke's boy's back.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
know?
Yeah. Yeah, I like his line. He said, if there's a test to decide the fate of the human race, Bill Cadogan should not be the one to
yeah.
take
right.
it.
Yeah. This, I wrote at the end of this, my notes for this episode. I was like, this was a great Gabriel episode for mm-hmm. sure.
Great for all
great
the
Jordan
characters.
Episode.
Jordan.
This is an A Jordan episode. It's
yeah.
not an A plus because Gabriel comes back and he says like what's up or whatever and Jordan goes, I'm a genius.
Yeah.
So do we want to do test talk now or do we want to finish out the episode, then we'll do test? Because this is the
let's
end
do test talk.
All right, let's do test talk. So my first thought obviously was like is it gonna be Clark?
How could it not be Clark?
It's gotta be Clark, but like I don't want it to be Clark.
Team
Honestly,
Raven.
With all this drama. With everything, it might not be Clark. They might have been like, fuck off.
So I was reading something about people saying, like, we obviously don't know what the test is, but isn't it funny that she already kind of took the test, a test, in season 3 with Allie, Becca, and her pulling the lever when she goes into the City of Light?
Mm-hmm.
You know, she has a situation where she's trying to take a test between the two, like, humanity versus Allie's version of it.
Is that a test?
Well, I mean, you know, you pick a side and you pull a lever or you don't, like.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah,
right.
But based on how we saw Becca Prometa in the prequel episode directly react to what she saw, I don't think it's going to be that cut and dry. Like, it's going to be more of, like, represent your species or
well,
I'm going to wipe you out as, like, another higher entity. You
well,
know?
That's another thing is, like, I guess you can just roll out, too, if you don't want to take the test. Because Becca was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, I mean, well, she got pulled back, and then she was just like, we're not ready, which totally makes sense with what we learned this episode. She's like, we're not ready. Like, we're not ready for the test, especially not you. It's referring to Bill, meaning you can, like Gabriel saying, you cannot be the one that does this for humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Gabriel would love that he had the same thought process as Becca.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah, he would love
that. He had a major crush on her.
Yeah. He doesn't.
Says it on his wiki.
Yeah.
Says it on his
so
wiki.
Ridiculous. Just says his relationship to Becca, like, huge crush. That's all it says. Yeah, so I guess you're right. I don't like that as much because she did go through as
yeah,
a representative.
Yeah, she went in and then she came back. And
she should be the representative of the right. human species. I would love for Becca to be to represent me.
As long as it's not Allie, you know?
Yeah,
okay,
I mean,
so I'm going to jump in and I'm going to say that I think Raven's going to take the test.
I like that idea.
Because Raven is, you just said Becca Promheda should be the one to take the test. Raven is our Becca Promheda now.
For sure.
Because, especially now, because Raven has done something where she, you know, has killed people and feels terribly about it and feels like she needs to have right. some type of retribution, which is obviously what she did is not on the same level as destroying the entire Earth.
Right.
But she has that experience now where she's been on the other side of morality. And, you know, I think it's important that the person that takes the test isn't just, you know, living a life of roses and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Obviously, Raven has had difficulties besides that. But I mean, now that she's been through that.
In yeah. that camp, you know, like really genius people and just in general, you know, who would have been a really fun character to keep around? Josephine Lightborn.
Oh,
she would
God.
Have been
yeah.
really effing it up for us in a good way. Like, she was such a good addition to Six. I was so sad that she
yeah.
couldn't possibly survive it. But fuck, would she have been dope in this season, just wreaking havoc and
yeah.
being like another genius side and like challenging Gabriel. But anyway,
well,
I mean, obviously,
yeah,
don't,
we don't even know what the test is.
Yeah.
Like, we don't know what the question, if there's like what it is. But I mean, I was reading, like, what if it's Jordan taking the test? Because,
nope.
you know, like,
please.
Jordan being Monty, do better kind of
same thing.
Thing like,
with Hope, then. That's the same thought process.
Well, Hope
behind.
Isn't ready. I mean, Jordan, the people were saying it's Jordan because he's the, like, the offspring of Monty who was, like, pure.
God, what a quick way for me to hate this show.
Yeah,
yeah, that would be
I mean, I'm just throwing shit out
it
there.
It has to be someone that's been.
It's got
to
be an OG
it's gonna
character.
Be if
Clark
I'm,
Raven.
I would. I'm very confident that's going to be either Clark or Maddie. I don't
right,
want
I was
going to
say Maddie.
Maddie. Yeah,
I was
going
to say
gonna
Maddie as my guess. Yeah,
Clark or Maddie, my long shot dream, which I know won't happen, is obviously Shade Hata. And my long shot dream that could potentially happen is Murphy.
Yeah, I like the Murphy
yeah,
one.
Murphy would be
I would,
dope.
I would
throw
say,
Raven in that ring as a very
yeah,
big
I'm saying I want Murphy and Raven. Sure. I don't want to be a basic bitch and pick Clark. So.
I would say that. If you're not doing the Clark guess, that I would put Murphy up there as a as one of the top like choices. Honestly, I don't think it's
Murphy
I don't think
Raven
it's that far fetched.
Same,
yeah.
same chance.
I don't think that's far fetched.
If it's Judgment Day, throw Murphy up there, man.
He's already
that
been
is,
judged.
That's what I'm
I
saying.
Mean, that's
that
I also like literally he just had the situation where he saw hell like quote unquote,
yeah.
and you know he did face a quote unquote Judgment Day.
Okay, I go with Murphy.
And
then.
He could have grown from that time, which he absolutely has, and they
yeah.
did him. Important they specifically wrote lines this episode which we've already brought up that make it seem like Murphy is like solidifying his character growth like what Amori was saying about him and how he I don't know I
what
I
if
just,
what if it's Picasso that takes
oh
this?
My god
the
he
puppy?
Comes through and they're like look at this good boy
yeah.
oh my god this
the human
race
you're
awesome.
Saved
yeah. yeah no only saves dogs
right right
like
look at this good boy
like, yeah.
Bellamy's off the table because fuck that
that yeah. would yeah. suck
okay,
holy
don't...
shit
yeah,
yeah
no
Bellamy's just as bad as like I don't know anyone like he cannot be an option anymore because of what the show has been this season. Who else? Right. Like, obviously, it's not going to be any of the. It's not going to be like Nyla
Trey.
Trey.
Trey. That's where Trey
not
is.
Gonna be Miller. It's going to be someone bigger, like you're saying. Like Murphy and Raven are on the table.
Indra.
I'm saying
maybe?
It's a season no. one character. So it's either Clark,
it has to be.
Raven, or Murphy.
You're removing Maddie from contention.
God, I'd rather Clark than Maddie.
Me too, but I still think it's they're, what they're hinting at with Maddie is she has to do something that's like
is Maddie yeah, like the better like you're saying that Jordan is the better not the better version of Monty but you know the offspring
of
Monty. Maddie is like the better version of Clark.
He like Jordan represents Monty meaning pureness like you know always doing the right thing or you know the good in people. I just honestly feel like it's one of those things where. It's Clark, and we're just thinking too much about
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
it's going to be Clark. I think
yeah.
it's going to be Clark.
But I do – I mean, I think going up your purity thing, I think it has to be someone that has a little bit of both.
Yeah.
You have to have a
yeah,
little bit
no.
of a darkness
I mean,
to have that full human experience.
Levin.
Yeah. Oh?
And at this point, man, I'm thinking if this is Azura's Eye where it's no one, I'm kind of upset about it. Like, they could be – where it's just going to lead up to this, and we're just not going to get
– And we don't even know, like, what – the test means. Like, yeah. So what if you fail a test, just humankind
gets
just
wiped out? That's what I'm taking.
I mean, that would be like, that ending wouldn't, like,
that's what I'm
have
saying.
Someone fail. Like,
don't
like,
hate it.
Have Shade hate it, or yeah,
fails and it's over.
That would be
the end.
Yeah.
Show stinks.
All right. We're going to have more conversations on this as the episodes go on. So any final thoughts? I think we covered all of
now we're hitting this final scene.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Okay.
All right, so Echo's revenge.
Echo is fully committing genocide. she's bananas. She's ready to drop this little gem 9 into the water supply, which will then kill all the Bardoans. Everyone's trying to convince her not to. Octavia starts it off saying that there's good people on Bardo. Echo says, who, Levitt? Mm-hmm. He who stole your memories, and this is all of his fault, the reason why all this is happening, which is a little harsh on our boy.
Yeah.
He was just doing his job. He don't know. Then Clark jumps in and says, and trying to convince her not to, saying, it's not what Bellamy would have wanted. She's like, you don't know what Bellamy would have wanted. Like, looking at Clark and Octavia, who, of course, I mean, Echo did spend a lot of time where we keep missing those, like, 6 years. But, like, those two might know about
it. Yeah. Yeah, that's an absurd line.
Yeah. Maybe say that to Hope or something, but not our girls.
Yeah. Yeah, and then Clark has some really good lines. Like, once you make a choice like this, it stays with you. And Echo comes back with another great line saying, you take lives to save the people you love. I'm not doing this for love. It's for vengeance.
Pure and simple. This is
pure
vengeance.
Pure and simple. Yeah. This is vengeance. Like, damn, mic drop.
Yep.
Clark could not do it. And then our girl.
Raven.
I am so glad they gave this to her. Like, just like what I said, that 6 years, we didn't get any of it visually. We didn't get any real scenes.
Yeah. I will say that makes it feel a little forced.
No, I mean, I liked it. I mean, I've been looking for Raven to get more intense scenes like this. And she said, Echo, you're my sister. My sister wouldn't do this. And even that wasn't stopping Echo.
I also think that if when the season's done and you binge it all, the scene with Clark and Raven, where basically Clark is in on the car, is consoling Raven, will have bigger impact. Meaning, like, Clark helped Raven realize, you know, like, you got to control your all the getting over what she did. And mm-hmm. now she's like, healed from that, and now she's trying to help Echo. So I think that scene's a little bit more, this makes that scene a little bit more powerful, like Clark and Raven's girl out moment too. So, but it was awesome. Like, Raven just did a good job.
I thought both of them, the acting sold me so well. I'm like, yes, they are sisters. They're my sisters as well. I thought Lindsay Morgan and Tasia both killed the scene. And then, so it took Raven saying, if you drop that, I'm not leaving. Like, you're killing me too. And that's what broke Echo, which is good. I mean, again, she was going to kill everybody. So nothing could get in her way until, of course, it's going to kill one of her people.
I really like the agony scream. Just to piggyback on is it Tasia?
Tasia.
Yeah, that was really nice.
Yeah. And then that pretty much she hands over the vial to Dioza.
Yeah, Dioza just steps up immediately and is like, give me that.
Mistake, because Anders walks in right after, and she just, like, you know, like, they talk back and forth, and she's like, we're sorry, like, here's the vial. Right away, like, too quick, too quick, just hands it over to Anders. That's all your leverage right there.
Right.
Okay, so let's not skip the fact that Anders comes in hot and is pissed. You're seeing him absolutely loses cool, obviously, because she's trying to commit genocide. They already found 3 dead disciples. Like, this is
completely justified.
He is trashing them. He's like, you guys are, I don't have any
you
of the quotes right down
your
because
animals.
I was, you're animals, you disgust me. Like, you're going off of your emotions for the people, like, one versus the many, like, whatever that all is. And oh my god,
honestly,
I couldn't write anything
justified.
Down because I
was
like,
it
was
all justified
bitch.
How Anders was saying all that stuff.
Of course,
it's like they were just about to murder every single person he's ever known ever.
Miller's like, pretty brave saying that in front of some armed animals right here. Like,
Dioza is like, settle down there, buddy.
She gives
even
it.
More of a reason why Dioza shouldn't have given over the vial right away. She knew
that's leverage.
Yeah, what the fuck are you doing?
But I did think it was hot when Miller says that it's like one versus the many, and then Dio's is like, we're not alone in here. And that was hot because I honestly wasn't even thinking about it. I was like, this is pretty
I knew he had people with him. I was
look at you.
I had to get one W.
Yeah,
one W.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
I have a 5-minute actual thing to talk about how I knew that there was people behind him. If you want me to go at it right now.
Hit it.
No, I'm kidding. I was just saying.
We were letting you have the floor.
Like, saving this? You didn't talk to us
about? What seas were planted that I'm...
I have a 5-minute explanation why I knew they were invisible right behind him.
Because it's happened like 6 times this season.
True. But this is...
We get the dope threat before we get the crazy scene, which is when, you know, Anders says, like, okay, this is what's going to happen, basically. We're going to put Echo on penance. She's going to serve a 20-year sentence, which is going to be nothing for us. It's going to be like a day at most. And she's going to die there if you don't put the code, if you don't use the key to put the code into the stone. Crazy threat.
Mm-hmm.
Insane
threat. Fucking real.
Yep.
Like, oh
and
my
then
God, yeah.
Hope goes, how about you die right now? So sick. Like, I mean, I wish the next thing didn't happen because her just slicing his throat and then catching it is like
Assassin's
one fell swoop.
Yeah,
so like good. So awesome. And then just that freaking track style, grab the baton, run straight.
Yeah, and like they had like the entire way they shot the scene changed. Like they had like lights on the ground, like they were super up in their faces. It did feel a little
weird.
It was
so good, and then it turned so unnecessary.
Also, I could be wrong here, but she cuts him with a knife from the right. With her right hand.
She does like this, yes.
And then she catches the Gem 9 with her right hand too, right?
I don't know about that.
Well, she's like this.
Probably, slice, throw.
Yeah.
Because
the hand came out and I didn't think it was Hope's hand to catch it. Because I was like, she... And then it was her. I was like, what?
Right.
I was honestly thinking, okay, who's catching it? Who's catching it? It's a long scene for the it still being in the air. And then I was like, this thing hits the ground. What are we doing?
Yeah, right.
But so she catches it. Obviously, she goes to do that drip drip over there, and Tioza just, why on earth? Why on this freaking earth would she do that? But
well, we know why she would do that. Why would Hope do what she did is the question. Because we know why Tioza would do it. She's saving everybody.
Bitch, man. Why is Hope not? There was like 4 scenes throughout the season where everyone was telling her, grow the hell up.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know anything. You've known 3 people your whole life. Like, grow up. And then.
So reckless. It's
she
one
deserves
thing,
to cry.
It's one thing. It's one thing to,
you,
slash Anders like on a whim. Okay. It's another thing to take the vial and just start gunning it for the for the thing to kill everybody. I mean, maybe talk to them first. Be like, what should we do with this? We got it now. That we'll make all the disciples stand down. No, let's just fucking.
We truly cannot forget how Hope doesn't know anything about anything when she's feeling this. Need for revenge. She hasn't lived the life like everyone else has, like Clark is explaining. Like, you can get through grief, you can get like certain things,
but everything she does know has been instilled to her through Octavia and Dioza.
Yeah, it's madness. It truly is madness. I just love Hope, and I'm
plus
really
years
giving her the
Echo,
benefit of
Echo, Gabriel, Orlando,
Dev.
Yeah, like all these people, like when these people that you've been growing up your whole life are telling you to chill the hell out, what is telling you that you think you know? I don't know. I just don't
it's
like
very frustrating that it takes this, we hope,
to make her
to actually turn the corner and be mature.
Yeah.
It seemed like
because I mean,
there's literally 2 ways she can go.
Yeah.
She can go fully off the rails, or she could turn the corner.
She's going to turn the corner for sure. And it's just like, this death, I loved it in the moment. I was like, cool, like we finally got a death. But it would have been better if Indra was our big death of the episode.
I agree fully.
Like, we need death.
Before
like,
we get to the impact, let's first talk about how awesome the crystallization actually was.
Yes.
I mean, besides anything, that
amazing
was
animation.
Sick. And especially because a prior episode, Anders takes them up to show what the actual world looks like with everything crystallized and like literal native Bardoans just is stuck in time.
Yeah.
Like standing there frozen solid. So cool. And all the way up the body. And she said, do not waste this little one.
Yeah.
Be better than I am.
And my question right away was like, if it moved that fast, like Gem 9 taking over any living like form near it, why would they have survived an hour or two on the surface? Like when Levitt was sending him up there, that seems like instant death the second you're within range.
Yeah, well, she touched it.
Oh, I guess that could be it.
Yeah, it didn't take, like they were saying, the humidification process or whatever, that whole thing would take time.
Yeah,
I'm
assuming
to get out. But
she
not...
touched the literal substance, which is just insane.
And it spread, you know. Because, I mean,
Something I also just thought of is that now, if they have any issues with the water system, they can't fix it, right? Or am I thinking too deep?
What do you mean?
Oh, because the water system is in there, the water pipes, the whole place.
So like, if they have an issue with the water system, like, can they fix it now?
I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, the water thing is still open.
Nah, they shut it.
No, they shut it.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, Dio just
shuts it right away. Yeah.
Oh, good.
She catches, shuts
She's smart. Yeah, that Dio is
love that. Oh, okay, God. So let's talk about... So another cool thing, Anders just gets eaten up by it too. Fuck you.
Yeah, yeah.
By Hope, really good acting, sobbing.
Octavia
walking out.
Her.
Yeah, so I mean, she is just like, mom, it's heart, right? I mean, she's gonna, the implications of this is Hope is gonna be trash for the rest of the series. Because, and I fucking love you, Shelby. I have loved Hope. We all have. But how is she ever gonna come back from killing her mom?
Not enough episodes.
Jesus, what a question. Monty did it.
Yeah, but no, that's I know. It was another choice. And he was, when he was like, so my mom could have. Like when they took the thing out of Raven, he was like,
"Yeah,
damn it."
Well, see, not only is it she's gonna be like destroyed that she just killed her mom, but also everyone's gonna be like, "What the hell?"
Yeah,
who is gonna?
That was
like,
so
Octavia's
reckless.
Gonna be the only one that vouches for her, but seriously, I don't know. So we can call it an episode, right? That was amazing.
Well, yeah,
there's a couple things we need to talk about, but
yeah, one thing I wanted to bring up is there was an interview with Dio's actress. After this episode aired, and she actually said that Dioza was going to die in season 5. Like, she was actually supposed to die at the end of that season. She was only supposed to be a quick, like, full-blown terrorist, bad guy, one-done villain. And then she got pregnant for real, and then Jason decided, well, let's make that a story.
Wow.
And literally it kept her, and she says, my son coming into this world gave me 3 years of awesome work on an awesome show.
That's wow.
Amazing.
And that turned into... Hope in season 7. That's insane.
I love
all right, Jason.
Dioza. I can't believe the transformation because I did not love Dioza in 5.
Gosh,
she was,
yeah.
Of course, just what's her the baby daddy's name?
McCreary.
So she would have been McCreary basically.
Yeah.
They both would have died.
Yeah, exactly. That's what she said. Yep.
Yeah, like she could have just been McCreary, someone who had to die in that
Thank
season.
God.
And
she
then,
was awesome.
Oh my God, I will rewatch. I can't wait to rewatch 7 and just love all those early penance scenes with them. I mean, incredible.
Yeah.
Don't waste this little one.
Don't waste this little one. I love little one.
So,
but oh, and her
before
call
we
her
do
one.
Ben Kilmeri, this warrants us talking about the trailer for next episode at least a little bit. So. Obviously, we all know as fans of The 100, Bellamy has been noticeably absent throughout this entire season, except for like 2 scenes, right? His death scene and the ring flashback scene. And the very first scene of the, or maybe the second scene, whatever, in the very beginning. So what we get in the trailer is we obviously, you know, it's a big reveal. It's Bellamy. It's going to be Bellamy's episode. We're going to finally find out what he's been up to. And we kind of talked about it forever. I remember bringing it up in the episode when you see the training. Sorry, when you see Levitt's angels getting trained in the flashback and they're in the classroom, first part of that scene is Anders talking about
the shepherd,
the fifth planet,
right?
The sixth, technically the sixth planet in the system called Etheria, which is the name of the next episode. And, you know, the only information we got out of it was like it was basically just a huge mountain.
The shepherd climbed.
Yeah. And like,
oh, shit. Yeah. Time dilation. Is Bellamy the real shepherd?
I was going to say.
What?
That's insane. No, but I was going to say the time dilation.
Why not? He climbs the mountain. Time dilation.
He's Bill Cadigan.
What I was going to say, time dilation, which they could have done really cool, is if Etheria was really.
Wait, you're going to have to start that over.
Yeah.
Okay, so what I was going to say, a cool time dilation would have been if Etheria was on a really fast time dilation and Bellamy was like an old man.
Well, see, people were thinking that, and yeah, I mean.
Like, if he just had white-ass hair,
I
that would have taken all the
like,
Bellark, all the Bellark people would have been like.
They're going to blow up.
I know.
I think you're actually the only person that wanted that, because I heard, like, everyone was like, if that's it, we riot. Like, you know.
I'll take any sort of crazy plot twist with a grain of salt.
No, what they would do is just send Clark to penance for like a minute. She ages 20 years, send her back. Now they're the same age. Then they're good.
Well, like the funny thing is in the trailer, you see that the person that he's with and trying to survive with is the guard that was trying to kill him, the disciple.
Oh, I didn't even.
Yeah.
Really?
They both get sucked in together when the thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So people were making jokes that. Yeah, we get to see more Bellamy and that guard than we got to see Bellamy and Echo on the ring or like, you know.
Yeah,
more,
really.
It's
meaningful relationships that we care about.
It's important to know that we do also get Levitt a little bit in the trailer, so I don't think it's going to be a solo Bellamy episode.
I don't think
we have enough time for that.
I don't need him to be climbing a mountain for a full episode.
Yeah, for real.
I mean,
because it looks like he's literally climbing a mountain.
Yeah, yeah, I really don't.
Stone
need
might
a
be
full
on the very,
melding.
Very top of it or something. Like, I don't know what they're.
He looks
do with
up
it.
To see the green anomaly light.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, that's gonna be a thing.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm excited for it, but I need more. I need the rest of the storylines to move forward as well. I don't want to just do another full episode. We only have six left. I'm upset.
This is a point I made when we rewatched, and a point we've made before, is that how the hell are the Sanctum storyline and the Bardo storyline ever going to converge?
I don't know.
They have to go home. That's the thing. Are they going to just go home, take care of Shade Hata, and then go back to the end game?
It's not going to be taking one out of the other.
Yeah, because I mean, they have a stone on Sanctum, so they can take the test from Sanctum.
Yeah.
Okay, now it's time for Bang Kill Marry. We're doing it Nightblood style. Luna, Antari, and Josephine Lightborn.
Whoa. This is a good one.
I love this one. I can go first.
Full disclaimer, I just had to refresh my memory on who Luna was.
Right. Yeah, so I can go first. I'm going to marry Josephine Lightborn. I love her.
That's not good for you and your psyche.
I don't care.
She's abusive, man.
She's like, everyone knows I'm obsessed with Clark, and she basically like is Clark to me. So love that. She's super cool. And then I am going to bang Antari. Mostly because I love her in real life, and she's dating Richard Harmon at Gay Murphy in real life, and I love that about her. And then I'm going to kill Luna only because she was like pretty sassy and opinionated the whole time, and I don't really need that.
Yeah,
she's
I'm jumping right off that because I'm doing the same order and pretty much the same reasonings, you know, like you can't marry Antari because it's just how she treats Murphy, like
chains him up.
She's like a, you know, like you're never going to have a good relationship with Antari. And then, you know, we kind of just talked to refresh who Luna was. Like, she had no interest in preserving like the human race. Like, she wanted everyone to die in Prime Fire because they basically deserved it, whatever. She's a pretty shitty person. She didn't help them in the alley season either, so I'm killing her. And Josephine's a bae, and I love her. So
you're doing the same.
I'm doing the same.
So it's funny because I would say all the way up to the end of season three, I would marry Luna because even though she didn't help them, her whole thing was, you know, I don't kill anymore. You know, like the blood must not have blood. I, you know, Lincoln loved her, like not loved her,
true.
But you know what
That's
I mean.
That's a good one. They're best friends.
Yeah, I mean, she got jaded, but. At you know, up until the point that she got jaded, I think she was very marryable. Gosh, I'm marrying Luna, dude. I'm gonna marry Luna because I'm gonna change her back to what she was like in season three. I'm gonna bang Josephine.
Yeah.
And Antari is very good looking.
Bro, wow.
I just like blew my own mind saying that. But I couldn't marry Josephine or Antari, so I had to go a little weird there.
That's so funny, because I was, like, trying to refresh what Antari looked like, and you're like, dude, she's so hot.
All right, Kyle, give me
So
yours.
Last but not least, I am going to marry Josephine, because Josephine's hot, and that's a crazy life. And my boy Gabriel dealt with that, so I think I can handle it.
Yeah, but she's also like genius level, just like them. I mean, she's a little cray cray, but
worst comes to worst, we get divorced.
And also, also, your father-in-law is J.R. Bourne, so that's a win.
True, we out here.
Yeah.
And we're talking original face Josephine. Who else will we be talking
about?
I'm
Clark's face Josephine as well.
Boy, will we?
I'm the chosen one, so I can handle it. And then bang, I will bang Luna because I've said this before on the Bang Kill Mary. Bang for me. Pillow talk weighs heavy on the banging, and Luna is a very interesting character. She has a very interesting thought process about a lot of things, like Jimmy talked about with her past, how her thoughts have changed, and then that just means I'm going to kill Antari.
Yeah, now that you guys are saying that, I agree, but it's fine. We barely get anything. Antari just slaughters a bunch of kids to be the friggin'.
Gets brain damage from Jaha.
Aiden was going to be the new,
Has her heart pumped.
Yeah.
I love that. That's
also for Luna.
Love.
That's when they fell in love.
I kind of want to go hang out on the oil rig. Yeah,
that's
exactly.
True. I kind of regret what I said, but it's okay.
All right.
All right. That is the episode. If you like what you heard, give Bingetown TV a follow on Twitter and Instagram and subscribe to our show on Spotify and the Apple Podcast app. Next up, we got episode 11 titled Etheria with that boy, Bob Morley. Thanks for finally showing up, buddy. We also have two Binge With Us series following the series Spartacus and the Netflix series Cursed. Have an amazing day and thanks for listening.
Russa stayed down. I done fragged him up on a fig Ada.